to quote John Dewey, the philosopher of American education. Some years ago, I was asked by the Holy See to write 3 articles on John Dewey for a Roman Italian publication, because Dewey's ideas were penetrating the Italian school system. And John Dewey was the evil genius who undermined American society through what we now call the public school system. One phrase of Dewey that I've memorized: those who speak of separation of church and state are all wrong. What America needs is subordination of church to state. Unquote, John Dewey. And Dewey's ideas have penetrated our culture very deeply. In other words, I call them heresies against Confucius. Remember, many things about Confucius I could share with you, but the one that is of towering importance is his great, what shall I call it, his deep conviction. A family is the foundation of all civilized society. Chinese communism built on Taoism and Maoism against Confucianism. That is why, in our country, apostate Catholics are such a terrible threat to even the survival of the Catholic Church in America. Because once they are seduced, former Catholics, and cooperate in this case, as in China, with the state, then the common people are misled by, in China, the apostate Confucianists, in America, apostate Catholics. Now, some about Confucianism in conflict. Confucius recognized Tao, which means way, and the order assigned by God. Remember what the Holy Father says in his wonderful document on Splendor of the Truth. There is no truth unless it conforms to the mind and will of God. And this is in Confucianism, recognizing there's only as much truth as the human mind, along with the human will, recognize there is a supreme authority to whom every human mind and will must be subject. Taoism sees Tao as the all-pervading reality, beside which the many are unreal. Here I could talk for hours. This, of course, is pantheism. There was only one reality, and then one reality, whatever verb I use, would be weak, not just pervades. is the only real reality which exists. What seem to be individuals, individual persons, are, and this is also part of Hinduism, they are Maya. They are illusion. They're not distinct persons. That is why the leading country in the world for abortion is China. Taoism, as I've just said, is pantheistic. And Confucianism is theistic. Now, as I'm sure you know, the Greek word for God is theos. The prefix P-A-N. Pantheism. Or whatever word the prefix pan is attached to means all. Everything in pantheism, everything is God. There is no one being who is the originator of everything else which exists. This, by the way, is plain, undiluted New Age. Taoism, Moism, Hinduism, Buddhism. I'm not exaggerating. There are thousands of books published in the United States on the New Age, all borrowed from this Oriental pantheism. I didn't read this last night. My lifetime experience. Taoism used by communists to escape the shell of Confucian, as they call it, antiquarianism. And that is why, as you know, all kinds of names were the enemies of the true faith have coined. And the worst enemies, by the way, are those who have been once believing Catholics. Do you know we are all preconciliar? Did you know that? If I were not preconciliar, I wouldn't be here. But of course, preconciliar means what? Out of touch with the modern world. Just a minute. Out of touch with the modern world. You mean there was no world? There was no church before Vatican II? Well, I've heard about it, but nothing is true in the Catholic Church unless it conforms with what had been taught by the Church since the time of Christ. Confucius recognized a hierarchy of love determined by Shang Ti. Who is Shang Ti? Moism ignores objective basis of love. No distinction between Chu and spurious love. Now my question to you, are we to love everyone?
Yes.
Next question. Are we to love everyone in the same way?
No.
Don't you dare. All you women have to do is two blocks would be enough. Walk the streets of Detroit and embrace every man as you walk along the sidewalk. By the third block, you will be taken, maybe kindly, by, I hope, by the police. Now we need, and this is Confucian teaching. Of course, we ought to love everyone, but not everyone in the same way. Buddhism explained by the communists to reject dependence of love on truth and of truth on the existence of an all-wise creator of the world. As I'm sure you know, I'm going to close this part now. I'm sure you know, St. Francis Xavier spent 10 years in India. In his 10 years, he personally, with his own hands, baptized over 100,000 people. Biographically or autobiographically, that's why I became a Jesuit. To follow in Francis Xavier's footsteps. Well then, having done his work in India, he went on to China. You know what happened? He was in the boat near the coast of China. He was very ill. Father Xavier died watching the coast of China. Only God knows what difference would have made if a genius like Xavier could have penetrated China. Well, thanks for listening. Now, if you take out your two pages, this was written, as you notice, by a Chinese Franciscan exile who has kept in close contact with the Catholic Church in China. He sent a study report to Rome. His report now was made public. And will, I'm sure, discourage many people. In other words, what will Rome decide? What's the decision that the Bishop of Rome has to make? He already has made one decision. As we said earlier, once the communists took over China, they realized that their one sworn enemy is the Catholic Church. And how smart the Chinese are, they realized there's one thing that makes a Catholic, is loyalty to the Bishop of Rome. They knew, how well they knew, the Catholic Church. So they decided, they will not openly persecute the Catholics. We'll give them a choice. The choice, and you can have everything in your religion. And the word is everything. You can have your Mass, your seven sacraments, your bishops, your priests, everything. Provided you disown your dependence on the Bishop of Rome. That's all. And as we know, sadly, not a few bishops gave in. Priests gave in. While living in Washington, D.C., one day at an evening meal, I was in conversation with my fellow Jesuits who had just come back from, I think, a summer-month stay in China. And I asked him a question, and should I continue speaking?
Hold on, Father. We just got a technical problem here.
I'd ask him a question. It has a question, but no more. So I asked him, first of all, how do you find China? He said, wonderful. And what's the condition of the church in China? Well, he said, it all depends. And no more. So I asked him, depends on what? Well, it depends on the kind of a Catholic you are. Silence. So I asked him, what do you mean, what kind of a Catholic you are? Well, it depends on whether you're a Catholic that believes in the authority of the Pope. Period. I must have asked him, I'm not exaggerating, 25 questions and one meal. When we got down to rock bottom. Well, how do you distinguish between those who are loyal to the Pope and those who are not? Well, says, they are living different lives. What do you mean, different lives? So then I asked him, how about those who have rejected the Pope? Oh, they are very well off. They want, they get. Money, good jobs, churches, everything. Schools. What about those who, well, still believe in the Pope? Very slowly. There are two kinds. So you can ask, what do you mean? Two kinds. There are two kinds. There are those in hiding and those in prison. I cannot tell you how blind, I mean that word deliberately, how blind we Catholics can be. The price of for 2,000 years, loyal Catholics have paid for the loyalty to the Vicar of Christ. And I cannot tell you how much it has meant to me to know my own fellow Jesuits for years behind bars, by now many, who have shed their blood. And not only shall we say for Christ, but for the faith in the Vicar of Christ. Well, the last part is especially useful. And this is the second last paragraph, page 19 of your Xerox page. Paul goes on to explain that alongside the nationalist and underground church, there exists a third, very active Catholic group, quotes, at the present time, when China is enjoying greater religious tolerance, some priests and laypersons who were jailed in the past because of the loyalty of the Pope and their opposition to any leanings with the nationalist Catholics are beginning to perceive the positive possibilities of the new political climate. The report states, some are willing to work with the nationalist church for the good of the church in China. Some of the priests already care for the pastoral needs of Catholics and parishes, which are part of the Patriotic Association. And this is the hard decision that the Vicar of Christ has to make. Chinese communism is, shall I say it, a credit to the genius of the Chinese people. They know there was a Catholic church only where there are people who believe that Christ appointed Peter and his successors as supreme authority in faith and morals on earth. The question then is, to what extent can, shall we call them, Papist Catholics, can they, morally speaking, cooperate with, in this case, the third way for China? And this is where good, and I have to say this, God allows evil, that greater good may come out of it. And one hope, well, we better pray, one hope for the future of China is that for economic reasons, the Chinese Republic will open the doors to Catholic evangelization and allow Catholics to be Catholics, not only in name, but in reality, by their obedience to and love of the Vicar of Christ. Suppose we go on. Question. Well, thanks for these big letters. I've been trying to get a 96-year-old man back to the sacraments, but no luck. Any suggestions? Well, first, of course, keep praying. But secondly, and I have to make this conditional, if this 96-year-old man lives within reachable distance of Detroit, very happy to talk to him. If he's hard of hearing, so am I. And if he's living elsewhere, very happy to talk to him by telephone. A loud amplifier. Can't imagine the people that this Jesuit has worked on. Is it true that Martin Luther asked for a priest on his deathbed to receive a last confession? I've heard this. I've never seen it in print. If it can't be proved, I'd be very happy to read it from some approved source. Are deacons at the service of the church such that they can be assigned anywhere in the United States? No. Deacons belong to a diocese. They are subject to the bishop of that diocese. The bishop, if he wants to, may allow them to be transferred to another diocese, provided the other bishop will accept the deacon. In other words, a deacon outside of his diocese, unless his bishop, gives him the permission and the authority, he has no rights. Exercise his diaconate. How can so many bishops be led astray when they have the grace of the Holy Spirit to give them strength the governing spirit. Only God knows how many visions we're talking about. But it is the history of the church. Bishops who have whatever verb I use would not be too strong. Have apostatized. Did so either out of fear or out of pride. Either out of fear or out of pride. Now, in a country like the United States, one big fear, these are good bishops, one big fear is that, depending on the diocese, so much of the church's work depends on financial support. And that financial support, in large measure, depends on, well, those who have the money. Meaning that money is political power. So fear. Some things I hesitate saying publicly. But I can say this without identifying the diocese. A community of nuns teaching sound Catholic doctrine. The principal, whom I happen to know personally, said things in class which occasioned a receiving threatening, life-threatening telephone calls. All she was doing is quoting the church's teaching, nothing else. She met with a bishop who said, "You're most welcome to stay in the diocese." But she decided to leave that diocese. And the second, I said the first reason is fear. The second is pride. That's the history of the church. If you want to be, well, praised by the media, want to be well recognized as a big public figure, all you have to do is play ball with those who are in political and media power. And let me tell you, you're all subject. What a safe word. You're all subject to giving in to human, as we call it, human respect, human recognition. Only God knows the price I've paid my 50 years in the priesthood. Only He needs to know. To, well, withstand the pressure to conformity and acceptance. Oregon seeks to pass Oregon seeks to pass a law that will pay for Dr. Kevorkian style suicides for the poor. Must we, as good Catholics, pay any taxes to such unjust laws when movies are used for such evil purposes? Needless to say, this question is not easy to answer. If the focus of the question is, Must we, as good Catholics, pay taxes to such institutions? Well, of course, no. Well, the problem, as you realize, is it's a twofold problem. First of all, this is divine law, we are to pay taxes for the support of the society in which we live, to provide paved streets, well, lights on the streets, and one of my close friends, in fact, a fellow Jesuit, one of my former students, his father was a lawyer. And this is some years ago, he just stopped paying his taxes. He went to prison. And thank God then, he was released from prison. And here we could have a whole course on the morality of paying taxes. Who remembers, I'm sure I've told you, who was the one that brought income tax into the modern world? Karl Marx. And I've told people over the years, the option, and what an option, here pay your taxes, you go to jail. Well, is there, we Catholics, as I've said so many times, we Catholics, I have to say this, oh, how blind we are. And I hesitate saying it, but I'm not being recorded now, am I?
Audio?
Thanks. How weak we are. 1973, our so-called Supreme Court legalized the murder of unborn innocent children. What do Catholics do? If there was ever a just cause for a civil war, it was that decision. Am I still clear? Have you spoken with Mother Angelica about her healing? No, not to her personally, but to one of her associates. And with her, I thank God that she was healed. I read Medjugorje, A Warning by Michael Davies, and watched a tape on Medjugorje by E. Michael Jones. Are the things they say true? Well, I neither read the book, nor did I see the film. I'm not sure what they said. I've said this, I'm sure, before. Medjugorje has never been approved by the Church. And there's no doubt. People going there, well, they say their prayers, recite the rosary, go to confession. All we need in Detroit, you don't have to go to Yugoslavia. All we need in Detroit is for, well, widespread availability of confession any time of the day or night. People reciting the rosary, walking up and down the streets of Detroit, reciting the Holy Rosary. So, there are some good things going on, but not because of those, I have to say it, alleged revelations. Is Father Gobi no longer getting messages? Or has he just been told not to publish them? What about their message, their messages on Metagorgy and so on? I don't know, but I understand that Father Gobi is no longer publicizing his quote-unquote revelations. I think I told you, I spent almost 2 hours talking to Father Gobi. That's some years ago. And when we finished, he said, well, I talked in broken Italian. I also had an interpreter. All the questions you're asking me, Holy Father is asking me too. And Father Gobi, I think, began sincerely. He may well have been a genuine mystic. But the hardest thing for a mystic is to remain quiet behind closed doors. The last thing that a true mystic does is publicize. Guess what? I just had a revelation last night. You had a what? A revelation. I'm not sure. So I heard he's no longer publicizing. I was at a benediction where the deacon older, appointed, married, offer the Blessed Sacrament for adoration. Yes, deacons may. Am I correct? Did Brother Matthew, before his ordination to the priesthood, have benediction? Yes. The encyclical, Quo Primum. In. Some Catholics say that it installed the Tridentine Mass in perpetuity. Please comment or explain. Now, this is a document issued in the 16th century regarding the Tridentine Mass. Remember, the Tridentine Mass is so named because of the Council of Trent. In other words, Tridentinum is the adjective which corresponds to the English Council of Trent. So the Tridentine Mass, as we call it, the liturgy of the Tridentine Mass, was formulated in the 16th century. And one reason was that there were so many different kinds of liturgies that the then reigning pontiff said, look, let's have just one. So the question is whether when the Pope says Tridentine Mass is in perpetuum, every Pope who wants something to be, well, kept alive, use the expression in perpetuity. That does not mean, I repeat, does not mean that there can only be the Tridentine Mass. As of any other, like, say, so-called Novus Ordo Mass, is contrary to the teaching of the Pope who declared Tridentine Mass is in perpetuity. He never meant that. That term, I repeat, occurs in one papal document after another. What does canon law say about communion of the hand? I don't have the code in front of me. But I can tell you this, I'm sure I've said this before, that communion of the hand began in Holland approved and promoted by the Dutch hierarchy without papal permission. Then, one European country after another began to follow the Dutch example. But what they did, and even the Dutch, and by the way, I know of no country of the world, the Catholic Church is in greater trouble than Holland. Then piously, the bishops got permission post factum from the Pope. And bishops in one country after another, including the United States, I've told you this on some occasion, working as I do with the hierarchy, the bishops were deeply worried. The United States would have communion in the hand. I did research and spent weeks of research to prove that communion of the hand, though practiced in the very early church, was discontinued, replaced by communion on the tongue, because of the widespread abuses. And the worst abuse is the clericalization of the laity. If the laity can handle the body and blood of Christ, then what's the difference between the laity and the priesthood? So, every document of the Holy Father, mainly Paul VI, permitting, and the verb is permitting, giving the hand, every document states, I am doing this only reluctantly. I'm doing this only to avoid a greater evil. What's the greater evil? The apostasy of those nations. Will you please explain how Thomas Merton got on the wrong track with his style of meditation? Well, I can write a book on Thomas Merton. I think I've shared this with you. I was asked by my Jesuit superiors to work with Thomas Merton, which I did. And, well, the Thomas Merton, as we know, remained a member of the Trappist community. But, as you also know, he died a sudden tragic death in Asia. Two reasons. Thomas Merton, and having spent hours and hours of private conversation with Merton, a period of almost a year, Thomas Merton was never intellectually converted to the Catholic faith. He liked the Catholic liturgy. He, admired so many things of the Catholic Church, but his mind, his intellect, was never really converted. Second reason, once he got into, mysticism, meditation, then, not having the principles to guide him, he became infected by Oriental, shall we call it, spirituality. And by the way, there will be no New Age movement in the world today except for Thomas Merton. That's why the New Age movement, as you know, is so deeply penetrated by Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, and at root, a pantheism which identifies the whole world as God. Our deacons expect to become priests on the death of their spouse. No. No. Now some do, but they're not. The verb express, expected, no. Can a Catholic belong to the Communist Party? Remain a Catholic? No. Now, everything depends on how you define the word Catholic. Remain a Catholic in quotation marks. How do we explain to parents that their children should not go up to the altar from the Sanctus to the Our Father during Mass? These children were from homeschooling parents. Well, my recommendation would be to get a copy. In fact, I did not distribute, did I? A copy of the document of the Holy See, published in the fall of last year, the need for distinguishing the laity from the priests. And what I can do is, well, either get copies or have copies made. In other words, this is what's happening. Part of this, shall I call it apostatizing, is to have the lay people more and more see themselves as, well, really priests. So how do we explain to parents? It is very dangerous to the faith of the children. I think I said, was it in this class? One of my definitions of Protestantism is, it is Christianity without the priesthood. Without the priesthood, there is no Catholic Church. Better, there is no church founded by Christ. Without the priesthood, there is no Christianity. Do you still hear me? Because there cannot be a Christianity without Christ's presence on earth in the Holy Eucharist. Only a priest has the power, traceable back to the Last Supper, to change bread and wine in the living body and blood of Christ. What does anyone in the world need to do to be saved? Oh, anyone, everyone. And this is defiant doctrine. Anyone who has reached the age of reason must pray. It is infallible doctrine. Those who pray will reach heaven. Those who don't pray will not go to heaven. Period. Close the book. And of course, the more we pray, time-wise, the more earnestly we pray, the more sure we are of our salvation. Can you tell us about Senator McCarthy? The media seem to point him as a communist witch, a witch hunter. What should a Catholic know about him? What reliable books are out on him? I never met Senator McCarthy. What I know about him, he was not a communist witch hunter. He was a Catholic. who strongly believed that communism was a great danger to the future of our country. He was right. I cannot try to provide you with a book or two on McCarthy, a reliable book.